Good morning, everyone. It's been a while since I've been here. I'm so happy to be here with you guys, and I'm also very honored to be up here on a special day. Today's Mother's Day, as we all can remember, which I believe mothers should be celebrated every day of the year because of what they've done for us. They've done a lot of, especially for me, my mom. I gave her a lot of headache. So if you could please turn to Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 to 7. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 through 7. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of the tree. Ye shall not eat of the tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves apron. So we today, like I said, it's Mother's Day, and I wanted to look at the very first mother in of mankind. So that's Eve. And this is not a hit on Eve or mothers in general, or women in general. How, when the serpent, he's a Satan, he came to earth, and he deceived Eve first, and Eve ate of the fruit of knowledge. And when we look at that, how much it affected us, everybody, from that point on. So the first people on the planet that God, you know, created, he created Adam, and then out of Adam, he created Eve. So we don't know much of what Eden was, but we do know that it was a paradise, and it's probably an understatement of how perfect it was, because words, we can write things down, we can maybe talk about it, but it just wouldn't describe what it was at that time. So we know it's probably, the temperature was perfect. We know there's plenty of food. Temperature was perfect, we know, because they didn't require any clothes. They were, you know, Adam and Eve were walking around the garden naked. So we know that the conditions were perfect. Probably no diseases, no animals to kill them. They had no enemies that hated them in that garden. So it was perfect. And I think the best part of the garden probably was not of the fruits and the animals and the beauty of it. The best part of the garden, in my imagination, in my estimation, would have been the time that Adam and Eve got to spend with God. And I think that's, you know, as we are here on this planet in such a short time, really the ultimate goal that we have once we pass, well, anyways, for us Christians, is that once we pass, when we leave our body, we would want to be with our Creator. I think that's eventually what we would want to do. Anyways, for me, it would be. So when I talk about consequences of the decisions that people make, I can't think of anything in recorded history that's probably as devastating to the human culture or to the human, to mankind in general. No decision I can think of by a single person has affected anyone, the entire world, as much as what Adam and Eve decided that day to eat of the fruit of knowledge. So we can look at maybe in the Bible, we could fast forward a little bit to Abraham's time when he and Sarah, they wanted kids and they were getting up there in age, and Sarah's womb was already, you know, dried, and Adam was already so old. I'm sorry, Abraham was already so old. So Sarah kind of encouraged or provided a way for them to have a kid through Hagar. And we know that the world still is in conflict from that's eons and eons ago. That one sin, that one decision affected the world in a negative way. But it still doesn't affect the world in a negative way as much as what the first act of disobedience did to us. In effect, what happened was knowledge was brought into to people, which we can say, well, it's knowledge is good, but knowledge can be bad also, because they started covering up their bodies and they noticed all the things that temptation and sin came into to the world, and we can, you know, it's because knowledge to me is a funny thing. It's great, but it's also destructive, because knowledge is very dangerous, you know. Like, for example, a little bit of knowledge is good, but when you combine it with the human nature, because we have greed, we have sin is embedded in us. We have greed, we have selfishness, we have pride. And that right there could be dangerous. So if you look at, again, in history, let's look at, fast forward a little bit in recorded history. Let's look at maybe Adolf Hitler, World War II. 26.6 million people died. That was such a, this one man who decided that there's a set of people on this planet that he did not want to live with. And that, the entire world was at war, from Europe all the way, you circle around the globe, back to Asia. Everybody was at war. Everybody, there was factions that were, you know, the we consider ourselves good, and the other faction considered ourselves bad. But all in all, 26 million people died, over 26 million people. And that's really what, that's just an estimate. It's not even an accurate count of how many people actually died. And knowledge, like I said, it can be bad, right? The one person that I can think of, you know, February 12, 1809, we know him as the father of evolution. His name is Charles Darwin. So he was born on February 12, 1809. He was so respected in the community of scientists. And then he created this idea that creatures that God made can somehow live in an environment long enough and they can change their form. You know, it's never been proven by scientists, but now it's poisoned our school systems. It's poisoned you, it's poisoned your children. And everybody thinks that, you know, we came from monkeys. I mean, that there alone, I think it's just so preposterous, but it's been embedded in us. And that's what knowledge can do. Knowledge is good, but it can also be bad. So, like I said, today is Mother's Day, and I look at my wife, and, you know, when I met her, I never imagined having the life with her. How, after we got married, it was, you know, when we got married, it was one of the happiest days in my life. And when we had our baby, Like, this is why I say I tip my hat off to mothers, because Stacy lost so much weight. And I thought, like, hey, when you're pregnant, you're supposed to be able to eat everything. And my wife wasn't able to, because she was food sensitive, and I couldn't cook in the house. I had to cook outside. And then on top of that, you know, for that whole 9 months, that's 9 intense months of, you know, groaning and in pain and then sleepless nights. And she couldn't find a position where she was comfortable. It was either too hot or too cold or both at the same time. And nothing was working. And then Paxton was born, and I was there. And I said to myself, there's no way I could do that. There's no way. And so I love you moms, and I thank you so much for what you've done for us, for as fathers, because I may have maybe a 1% idea of what it's like to be a mother, but there's no way that I could ever do what Stacy's done or what all of you mothers have done. But as much as I love her and my son, as much as I love them both, there is nothing to me that is greater than when I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. There's no time in my finite brain that I can think of that was better or greater or happier to me than that day. And I say that because I honestly feel that if my mom and my dad had not brought me to church when I was a kid and I accepted Christ, there would be no relationship with me and Christ, first of all. I would have no future after death. Well, I would, but it would be in fiery hell. And there's no certain, I most certainly wholeheartedly believe that there would be no relationship between Stacy and I had I not been saved, because I probably would have been defiant. And her mom, as you know, her faith is great. She still, you know, she still shows us how great her faith is. And I still learn a lot from her. And I'm so happy that my son is now around my mother-in-law and my wife, you know, as Christians, seeing that example of how it is to be a good Christian and how it is that, you know, to be saved is much more important than to fill my brains with useless information that once I die, it's not going to be there. So, I mean, it's important. Knowledge is important, but it can be also dangerous. And in this room, I see people that are saved, and I know some of you may not be saved, but you're here for a reason. You're here because you want to learn. There's something tugging at your heart, or someone calling on you and asking you, what are you going to do with yourself after? Because you cannot pay for your way up into heaven. And this is when I say that I'm going to pop your ego and burst your bubble here for a second, that go ahead and look around the room, and most of us here will not ever affect history, will not ever affect mankind like the way some of the more prominent people we have. Most of us here are not going to be Bill Gates. We're not going to be Abraham or Peter or Paul, who, you know, the work that they did for the Christian church. Most of us are not going to be there. Let's just be honest. I'm one of you. I'm just an ordinary person. And maybe there's something that I'm going to, you know, the decision that I made to become saved, to accept Christ as my Savior, would hopefully affect my son's decision, and maybe he can be saved. That would be a very happy moment in my life too. It'll be up there, top three. And, you know, but what I'm trying to say is that no one can make the decision for you. That being, you know, I would want my kid to be successful, but honestly, if as long as he's not a criminal, then I'd be very happy. If he graduated from high school and he wanted to do something simple, I'd be very happy for my kid. But I can't make the decision for my son to be saved, and I wish I could. And that's when your you know, you have to make for the decision for yourself that one day that you're going to give up the ghost, you're going to stop breathing, and there's really only one question once you pass and your spirit goes up. Your one question is going to be, are you saved? Did you accept Christ? And if the answer is no, unfortunately, you can't spend time with God. So as we look at the word perfection, how God is obsessed with perfection, right? We see that from the beginning of time, how he created earth. He created, essentially, he created Adam and Eve in his own image. So we know that at one point after they were created and before they ate the fruit of knowledge, they were perfect too. And that Eden was perfect, and the temperature was perfect, and the conditions were perfect, and that there was no sin in the world. We know that at one point. We also know that because he is perfect, the Father is perfect, there can be no imperfections in front of him. And he knew that God knew before we even came, we were born, he knew that we could not be perfect. Because of the first act of disobedience by Adam and Eve, we are no longer perfect. It's in our blood, and it's in us, you know. So what did he do? God gave us his son, Jesus Christ, who is perfect. He was born into this world, you know, from a virgin mother. So we look at virginity, the word virgin, when normally we assign that to something like, you know, this olive is virgin, it's untouched, it's pure. She was untouched. God planted the seed on her, and Jesus Christ came. He was perfect. He was sinless. He didn't have an inkling of sin on him. He's pretty amazing because he's God and man all at once, 100% God, 100% man, but he was with us. He was perfect. We know from the book that he was sinless and that he walked around and he performed miracles on people. And the last thing that he did was when he was nailed on the cross, he died. Instead of condemning us, he prayed for us. He asked for our forgiveness. And I can't imagine anyone who would forgive us still for what we did. And his blood was perfect. He was shed for us. And so we're not perfect. And the one thing that can make us perfect is the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ can only be with you if you accept Jesus. And so how do you get to heaven? You accept Christ, right? John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No one cometh unto the Father but by me. So there's no other way to come unto Father unless you're saved. So I know, like I said, some of you are maybe wondering, what's Alfredo talking about? So what I'm saying is that I plead before you and I ask you to look upon yourself and to really gauge what you have and what you are. You're imperfect, but at the same time, you should look at yourself as a precious loved one, because your mom, your dad, they look at you that way. I look at my son that way, that he's so precious to me. He's so delicate and he's got a lot to learn. But you look at yourself in that way, that you are special, that you are important. Your mom loves you, your dad loves you, but the Heavenly Father loves you even more because he gave to you the greatest gift of all, eternal life, and that's through his son, Jesus Christ. And I just, you know, I think if you look at it that way, it's not selfish, it's the truth, okay? It's the truth is God loves you and you should love yourself the way he does. If you can bow our heads in prayer, please. Father in heaven, we are so grateful and thankful for thee and the time that thou hast given us. Lord, here in this planet, there's a lot of things that may cause distraction. We have ourselves as enemies sometimes. We have people around us who tempt us, and they show us things that we learn, and we become also tempted. And the enemy is here. We know that the Satan is here to try to claim our souls. And Father, thou gift for us of eternal life through thy Son Jesus Christ shows us how much we are loved. But Father, we also know that as much as the enemy is our great enemy, time is also our enemy, because our time here is short. We are born and we don't know when thou will call upon us. We don't know when our life will be given up, and we don't know when thou will call us back to thee. And Lord, as when we give up our souls, we can't enter into heaven, for we are imperfect, and we know that. And we know that every one of us here are sinners, and every one of us have a lot of things that keep us from thee, that keep us from being with thee in heaven and dining with thee in heaven and singing choruses with the angels and with other Christians, Lord, and singing of the glory of the Son. And Lord, we know that he died, but greater still, 3 days later he rose, and to show us that one day we too shall rise again. And Lord, we are so grateful for thee and thy Son, and we look forward for the second coming. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.